This is Roger Penske, and you're listening to Pit Pass Indy, sponsored by Penske Truck Rental.
IndyCar fans, it's time to start your engines. Welcome to Pit Pass Indy, a production of Evergreen Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Martin, a journalist who regularly covers the NTT IndyCar Series. Our goal at Pit Pass Indy is to give racing fans an insider's view of the exciting world of the NTT IndyCar Series in a fast-paced podcast featuring interviews with the biggest names in the sport. I bring nearly 40 years of experience covering IndyCar and NASCAR, working for such media brands as NBCSports.com, SI.com, ESPN Sports Ticker, Sports Illustrated, Auto Week, and Speed Sport. So let's drop the green flag on this episode of Pit Pass Indy. Welcome to this week's edition of Pit Pass Indy, presented by Penske Truck Rental, as we continue our fourth season of giving IndyCar fans a behind-the-scenes look at the NTT IndyCar Series and the drivers and teams that compete in the Indianapolis 500. Finally, the long off-season is over, and the focus can shift back to the racing on the track, not to the meetings and discussions that have dominated the storyline for much of this off-season. The gloom of the off-season was replaced by bright, sunny skies, warm temperatures, and the largest crowd in the 20-year history of the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. This event has earned its place as the season-opening race, becoming IndyCar's version of spring break. The race on March 10th began with Jon Bon Jovi getting a high-speed ride in the IndyCar two-seater fastest seat in sports to lead the 27-car field off pit lane from four-time Indianapolis 500 winner Helio Castroneves as his driver. The legendary rocker was so impressed with the ride equipped he might consider starting his own racing team. But once the green flag dropped, it was Joseph Newgarden of Team Penske who brought the house down with a show-stopping performance. He started on the pole and led 92 laps in the 100-lap race for his 30th career IndyCar Series victory, breaking a tie with the great Rick Mears for 13th on the all-time IndyCar victory list. It was Newgarden's third victory in the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. There is plenty of ground to cover on this week's Pit Pass Indy, so let's hear from the winner himself, Joseph Newgarden, in this exclusive interview after the race for Pit Pass Indy. What better way to start off a 2024 NTT IndyCar Series season on Pit Pass Indy presented by Penske Truck Rental than to have the Team Penske driver as the winner? Joseph Newgarden, a really impressive victory in the season-opening Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. You led 92 of 100 laps. You won easily over second-place Pato O'Ward. You started on the pole. In a lot of ways, that's a near-perfect weekend.
I mean, it really was. You know, I can't deny it. I mean, I was really satisfied with our performance and, you know, felt like the team just executed at the highest level. They've done that, you know, many times in the past, and today was no different. It's a good start for us. You know, I think it's encouraging for everybody. They feel really confident about what we're going to be doing for the year. And, you know, we can't get carried away. I said that after qualifying. I said, let's not get carried away until we get through the race. And I sort of feel the same way about it's only round one. We got many to go. Let's get deeper into the season and see where we land.
When you think of Team Penske, one of the first names you always think of is Rick Mears. Today, with your 30th victory, you break a tie with Rick Mears for most victories in IndyCar. You still got a ways to go to catch the leaders, but that's got to be a pretty impressive feat to now have more wins in IndyCar than the great Rick Mears.
Well, it's a great honor. I mean, you know, I've had the privilege of being a part of Team Penske, and Rick is a legend, a tremendous competitor and racer, and, you know, he's been an ally to our team and to all the drivers that come through the program. And, you know, just to, you know, be near him is very inspiring, you know, and I don't know, for me, it's just, it's humbling. Like, I never thought I'd be a race car driver professionally and certainly never thought I'd drive for Team Penske. So the fact that I've had as many years here at Team Penske as I've had and, you know, we put this many wins on the board, it's beyond cool is all I can say, Bruce.
A lot of people think that in this series, as competitive as it is, every point counts. So at the beginning of the season, to get off to a fast start, How valuable is that for you to go after that third NTT IndyCar Series championship?
I mean, it helps. You know, I think it's going to take a lot of work across the entire year. There's no doubt. I mean, look, it's one race, but it always helps to start strong, and you know, then we can figure out how to keep it going and finish strong.
It seemed like the only time you were really challenged was at the very first lap, when you had a pretty good battle with Felix Rosenqvist, who started second. Once you got out front, you pretty much determined the pace of the race. How challenging was the beginning of the race?
The beginning of the race was hard. I mean, look, I think the red tire was, and I call it the red tire, it's the green tire this weekend. I think the green tire was a lot better in many respects, whether it was a restart or it was just across a stint, it seemed to be superior. So the start of the race, it was hard to hold Felix off. Like, you know, he definitely wanted that tire later, and I knew I just needed to keep position on him. And we were fortunately able to do that and kind of dictate, you know, the pace of the race, as you said. That was the big thing for us, just stay out front and, you know, sort of keep everybody at bay for the most part.
The way the 2023 season ended for you, uncharacteristically, with a lot of incidents, things that happened beyond your control, mistakes on the track, I believe you said earlier it was almost comical the way things ended the season. How much pent-up frustration did you have entering this race to get a fresh start, get off on the right foot, and start winning races again?
Yeah, I was kind of not in that. I was not in that head placement anymore. You know, I was just ready to go and excited. I was more nervous, if anything, wondering if I could still do this job and do it well. I think you get that every year. It's just that kind of anxiety or nerves of, you know, pressure and having to deliver. But I was really easy aside from that. You know, I wasn't mad about last year. It just, you know, that's done and dusted, and it was a little bit comical the way it ended. It just, I don't even know how to describe it. It was one disaster after another, and you know, that's how we had the huge slide. So I'm ready to just reset, refocus, and you know, hit the go pedal again. That's what we do.
During the off season, you refocus by getting off social media, by ending a lot of your social media commitments, your demands. You said you wanted to bring the joy of racing back to your life. I assume today you really experienced the joy of racing again.
I did. I had fun today. I had a great time behind the wheel. Like, just everything, and I don't want to say it felt easy, but it was definitely enjoyable. And you know, I love the process of working with the team and, you know, trying to put it all together, and we did that today.
And finally, a lot of the focus during IndyCar's offseason has been on things that IndyCar's done wrong, but wasn't today a perfect example of everything IndyCar does right? You had a huge crowd, you had a young crowd, you had great racing, you had a vibe, you had a buzz. How important was it to regain the storyline for 2024 and put IndyCar back on a positive track?
I think you nailed it. I mean, look, there's been a ton of negativity, and I know everybody wants to latch on to any little news story and piece of information, but there's so much positive energy that's going forward with IndyCar. I mean, the fan engagement here this weekend was incredible. I've never seen such a robust crowd. You know, it was a young crowd. It was an engaged crowd. Like, I just felt really good about things and really positive. So I feel confident, you know, going forward for the rest of this year. And I think we've got, you know, the best product on the planet. I say it every year, but I think it's true. It's by evidence by watching it. If you watch it, you come out, I think people see and they understand why it's such a great product.
Joseph Newgarden, congratulations on a very impressive victory. Great way to start the 2024 IndyCar Series season. Thank you for joining us today on Pit Pass Indy, presented by Penske Truck Rental.
Appreciate it, Bruce.
We'll be right back to Pit Pass Indy after this short break. In the world of racing, Penske means performance and winning. For good reason. Since 1966, Team Penske has won 44 national championships, 17 in IndyCar alone. And last year, Team Penske claimed its Indianapolis 500 record-extending 19th Indy 500 win, with Joseph Newgarden the latest driver to win the famed race. Team Penske also won its second straight NASCAR Cup Series championship. In 2022, Penske was the first team in history to win both the IndyCar and the NASCAR Cup Series championships in the same season. Team Penske enters the 2024 NTT IndyCar Series season with 236 IndyCar wins, including 34 500-mile race victories. Those are results that are tough to top. But Penske's legendary reputation for quality and attention to detail makes a statement off the track, too. When you need a truck, whether for your business or for a household move, Penske Truck Rental has some of the cleanest, newest, and best-maintained vehicles on the road. And we make it easy with personalized support from our associates, flexible reservations, and access to the top technology. With quick pickup and drop-off at more than 2,500 locations across North America, our scale and know-how will keep you covered, all helping to ensure you get the right, reliable, fuel-efficient vehicle when and where you need it. On the highways, the raceways, and every pit stop in between, Penske keeps you moving forward. Gain ground with Penske. Get a quote today at PenskeTruckRental.com or, for household rentals, download the Penske Truck Rental mobile app today.
Hey, everybody. This is Joseph Newgarden, winner of the 107th Indianapolis 500, and you're listening to Pit Pass Indy, presented by Penske Truck Rental.
Welcome back to this week's edition of Pit Pass Indy. On Thursday, March 7th, a special private screening of the HBO documentary series The Lionheart took place in St. Petersburg, Florida. The HBO original documentary was released on HBO and streamed on Max beginning March 12th and is available for viewing now. In 2011, two-time Indianapolis 500 champion Dan Weldon, nicknamed the Lionheart, died in a horrific crash at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, shaking the world of motorsports to its core. 10 years later, Dan's two sons, Sebastian and Oliver, follow in their father's footsteps as they work through their loss the only way they know how, getting behind the wheel to race. The Lionheart is directed by Laura Brownson and features Susie Weldon, Dan's widow, his sons Sebastian and Oliver Weldon, Dario Franchitti, Scott Dixon, Tony Kanaan, and Sam Schmidt, as well as many others. Pit Pass Indy was at the private screening that included the talented group that produced and directed the film, as well as much of the IndyCar Series community, including series officials, drivers, team owners, and the many friends that Dan Weldon made in his remarkable life. We start with Laura Brownson, the director-producer of HBO's The Lionheart, in this exclusive Pit Pass Indy interview. Joining us now on Pit Pass Indy is Laura Brownson, the producer of The Lionheart, the HBO original documentary on the life of Dan Weldon. We're at a private screening here in St. Petersburg. What was it about Dan Weldon's story that inspired you to make this documentary?
Oh, gosh. Where do I start? Dan Weldon is an epic driver with an incredibly larger-than-life personality, and his story on its own merit is worth a film. But when I learned about his boys and the fact that they were following in his footsteps and on their way to becoming race car drivers, I was suddenly like, there are really important themes of familial legacy, fathers and son, mothers and father, or mothers and sons, grief, love, loss, that are sort of bigger than just a single driver. And I wanted to tell the story because I thought that it would really speak to bigger audiences than even motorsports.
A lot of people who may think, if you're Susie Weldon, why would you let your sons go into racing after losing their father? But some people have said, to them, that's how they still feel their connection to their father. Have you discovered that through making this documentary?
For sure. You know, and that was actually one of my questions. I'm the mother of two boys. And so my question was always like, why would they want to do this? And how could she let them? And as I filmed, I really came to see that those boys do this because they love it, but also do it, more importantly, because that's the place that they will connect with their father. They can best understand him. When they're behind the wheel, that is when they feel the closest to Dan.
Is one of the amazing things that you've discovered going through all of the archival footage of Dan is to see how much of Dan is in these two.
Yes, for good and bad, Dan Weldon is in those boys. They are absolutely as filled with life as Dan was, including being a troublemaker, including being, you know, all of those things that Dan is famous for as well.
It's been 13 years since we lost Dan Weldon at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. How important do you think it is that we'll be introducing his story to many people who may not have gotten to see him race?
I mean, I think it's extraordinarily important. He should go down in the annals of race car history, not just because he died in a terrible, tragic crash, but because he was an incredible driver. Winning the Indy 500 two times is no small feat. And his final victory in 2011 at the Indy 500 was, you know, one of the most amazing races ever. Cinderella story. No one expected he could do it. And I think it's a, you know, worthy of telling and bringing to audiences that don't even know about his story.
When did production begin for this project?
We are literally 3 years out. So St. Pete Grand Prix, 3 years ago, we began filming.
And what are some of the other projects that you've been involved in?
I most recently did a film, part of the Untold series on Netflix, which is a sports documentary series. I did one of the films about a female boxer named Christy Martin. I did a film called The Rachel Divide. I've done a film called The House Band. The Rachel Divide is on Netflix. I've done multiple projects all over the map of different subject matters.
And as you've gotten to know many of the drivers that competed against Dan in his career, how quickly did you learn the absolute love that they had for him, even if they were on rival teams like Scott Dixon?
The brotherhood between Dan and his teammates, literally, whether it was Scott Dixon and Dan on Ganassi, or whether it was Tony Kanaan, Brian Herta, Dario Franchitti on Andretti, those men were brothers. And the way they showed up for this film, the way they spoke about Dan, has been incredibly touching. And you know, I felt their loss, but I also felt their celebration of Dan as a friend and brother.
And how about introducing IndyCar racing to a new audience, such as on HBO?
I love the idea of introducing IndyCar to a new audience via outlets like HBO. I mean, the popularity of F1 is clear, and there's no reason that IndyCar shouldn't do the same thing in the U.S., so I hope this film does a little bit of that.
Well, Laura Brownson, we certainly hope the same. Laura Brownson, the director and producer of The Lionheart, the HBO original documentary. Good luck on the project, and thank you for joining us on Pit Pass Indy.
Thank you.
The producers of The Lionheart are brothers Chapman and McLean Way. They explained their interest in pursuing this documentary to me in this exclusive interview for Pit Pass Indy. Joining us now are Chapman Way and McLean Way, the producers of The Lionheart, the HBO original documentary on the life of Dan Weldon and the legacy of his sons, Sebastian and Oliver. Here we are at a private screening in St. Petersburg, Florida. What was it about Dan's story that inspired you to make this documentary?
Sure. We were always, you know, fan of Dan's incredible personality, character, incredible race car driver. I think it was about 2021, maybe the 10-year anniversary of his crash, that we were reading articles again and learned that his two sons, Sebastian and Oliver, were on the path to become professional race car drivers themselves. And I think that really, as storytellers, piqued our interest that there could be a really, you know, incredible story here of family, brothers, fatherhood, and overcoming really, you know, traumatic circumstances.
Yeah, we always felt like Dan's story by itself, completely deserves a feature-length documentary on his own. But it wasn't really until we saw Sebastian Oliver's rise in the story of racing and generational talent and passing on the baton that, as filmmakers, we were just very interested in telling the story. And that's when we partnered up with the great, brilliant Laura Brownson, our fearless director that just has done such an amazing job with this.
Is one of the things that's unique about this story is this is how Oliver and Sebastian have kept that connection to their father.
Yeah, I think some of our favorite footage was watching Sebastian and Oliver go around the country to their different racing tournaments and, you know, talk to people who knew Dan and knew Dan well. And they would hear stories about Dan that maybe they weren't familiar with. And I think for us, it was really powerful to watch this footage and watch in real time Sebastian and Oliver connect with their father in a very intimate way that they might not have otherwise.
For those of us who knew Dan Weldon and covered him through his whole IndyCar career and were there at Las Vegas in 2011 for that fateful day when he was killed, his impact still remains over the sport. And that's really amazing when you think how much time has passed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be here, you know, many, many years later and to be able to tell his story and cement a legacy that deserves to be told was really one of the most exciting things about making this documentary. I think it speaks volumes that a platform like HBO would come and they make premium content. And so for them to back this film and get it in front of their viewers, I think just speaks to the power of Dan's story.
Yeah, I think a lot of that impact, too, was really interesting to speak to drivers who knew Dan. A lot of their comments to us and to the film was about Dan off the track, outside the track. And so, of course, he's known for his incredible feats on the track, but I think really his legacy and what the profound effect that he had on so many was because of so many things off the track.
The great thing about Dan Weldon is when he met spectators, when he met the media, when he met sponsors, when he met fellow drivers, he looked him in the eye and he was generally interested in hearing what they had to say. And is that something that you discovered going through his life story?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that like the brotherhood that shines in this film isn't just Sebastian and Oliver's, but it's a brotherhood with all these drivers. And, you know, the first stories that would come out of their mouth was not necessarily how talented Dan was as a driver or the best races that he won, but just who he was off the field and things like pranks and irritation and frustration with Dan, all really funny, hilarious things that they would tell us to really capture the soul that this man had.
And also just the genuine love and affection that his rival drivers had for him. You know, from Scott Dixon and Dario Franchitti to Tony Kanaan. Some of them were his teammates, others were on different teams, but they all loved Dan Weldon.
Yeah, I think, you know, this film really captures the wide range of idiosyncrasies that Dan had. And I think those idiosyncrasies were a big reason why so many people loved him and why he had such a profound effect on so many people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Dan was just had a remarkable life, you know, where he came from, being from England, coming in, and how he dominated on oval tracks in a way, and just his ability to kind of focus in on a more technical approach. We talked to drivers about, like, is that more classical music versus jazz music on the road tracks? And Dan just had, you know, coming back and winning the Indy 500 two times. There's just a ton in this story. And as filmmakers and producers, directors with Laura, capturing all of that was the name of the game from day one.
And how about the incredible story of strength that Susie Weldon has had to be able to not only lose her husband, but Oliver and Sebastian's father, but yet keep his legacy alive?
Yeah. When we first started researching this story, one of the first things we did was connect with Susie Weldon and reached out to her. And within minutes, we realized that there was more than one Lionheart in this family, and that's Susie. And I think that, you know, she sacrifices a lot to help Dan's legacy continue and to help the legacy that the children are now building. And I know it's not easy for her, but for her to kind of put her children first in accomplishing their dreams, so for us was something that was really unique and really, really, really profound.
And the courage to tell this story. You know, these are not necessarily easy interviews or quick interviews or the storytelling that she gave, but to go back and to really dive in and talk about Dan in the heartfelt, authentic, genuine way that she does, it's just remarkable courage that it takes.
And what are some of the other dramatic projects that you guys have been involved in, some films that you've been part of?
Sure. We do a sports anthology series for Netflix called Untold that we really enjoy doing. We have a current documentary right now series that's on the top 10 in Netflix called American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders. And so we do a wide range, everything from true crime to sports to music docs. And so it's a genre we love. We love going into other people's worlds and telling their stories.
And where are you guys originally from? Where did you go to college?
Sure. We're born and raised in L.A., studied cinematography at UCLA Extension. Mac was a history major at UCLA. And so it was during about 10 years ago that we really just kind of fell in love with documentary filmmaking, and I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, I think that being Part of what attracted us is we're brothers, and so this is the first documentary that we've been able to make on a pair of brothers, so it was a special position for us to be in.
Well, good luck with the HBO original, The Lionheart, and thank you for being able to tell Dan Weldon's story, because it really is one of the most incredible stories of anybody that's been involved in the IndyCar series this century, since the year 2000. Good luck with the film, and thank you for joining us today on Pit Pass Indy.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a massive honor for us to tell Dan and Susie and Sebastian Oliver's story, and it means a lot, and we're really excited for audiences to watch it next Wednesday on
March 12th.
HBO.
Good luck. Thank you. Susie Weldon is the key subject of this documentary, along with her sons Sebastian and Oliver Weldon, who are keeping their father's legacy continuing by pursuing a career in racing at the highly competitive karting level with their goal to make it to IndyCar in the Indianapolis 500 one day. Susie Weldon joins me for this exclusive interview for Pit Pass Indy. Joining us now, it's a special lady, Susie Weldon, Dan Weldon's widow, but also the mother of Sebastian and Oliver Weldon. We're at the private screening of the HBO original, The Lionheart, a very special project to you. It's about the life and tale of not only your husband, but how he continues to live through his sons. And just how special has this project been for you?
It's been immensely special. And I think that's one of the things that I'm most proud of, is just the way that Dan's legacy can live on, you know, not because of the kind of person he was, you know, and the connections that he made with people. Not only that, but also that the legacy that he left for the boys and what they're able to do and what they want to do to carry on his legacy and follow in his footsteps.
Some people may ask, after all that you've been through, why you would want to see your sons go into racing. Why not get them a golf club or a tennis racket? But some people say that's how the connection lives on between them and their father.
That's right. I think that's exactly right. And I say to people when they ask me that question, because it is people are curious about it, but the decision has never been mine. I always knew that I would give them the opportunity if that's something that they wanted to do, but they have full control over that, and if they wanted to continue and do something with it, and here we are. So I'm just really proud of them.
Obviously, this project's been a labor of love, but how emotional has it been for you to relive all that?
It's been super emotional at times, for sure, but also I think very healing. And I think the way Laura Brownson, the director, told the story was so beautifully done. And it really brings the two stories together of not only Dan's life and his career, but also the boys and this path that they're on.
And because Oliver and Sebastian are still young, how have they been able to process everything that they may see in this movie that would be very difficult for somebody to see?
Yeah, we watched it as a family privately at home. They're not going to sit through this screening tonight, but we're very open and we talk about things, and it's a big part of their story and they've had to live with it. So they process things as they go along, and certainly as they've gotten older and they're able to understand a little bit more. But I'm just super proud of the way they've handled everything with such grace and courage.
You knew that Dan was special when you started working with him, and then later when you started dating and then got married. There's a lot of people who may not have seen Dan race that'll get to see it through this documentary. But one of the special things about Dan was he made everybody feel special. I mean, you've got rival drivers that look at Dan as their best friend, that love the man. And do you think that's his greatest legacy?
Absolutely. And I tell people all the time, I think, Dan had an incredible ability to connect with people. And whether it was somebody that he met for 5 minutes or somebody that he knew for a long time, they truly walked away with him having an impact on them. And I hear so many stories of those of people that have met him and stories just like that, where they feel like they really gained a friend, regardless of how long they'd known him.
And as we get ready for the private screening of the HBO original documentary, The Lionheart, are you a little nervous?
Of course. I'm standing here. I'm really nervous. Just because this audience is really special. This is a special audience. Obviously, a lot of people here from racing and the racing community. And so, but just really, really excited and happy and excited to share it with you guys.
And there's not a lot of people in racing that once they move on, the way Dan's career was and the way, unfortunately, it ended, but people still talk about Dan Weldon 13 years after he's been gone. And does that really just go to show how truly special he was?
Absolutely. And I think that's a part of his legacy as well. And I'm really proud. I can't say it enough. I'm just super proud.
And finally, the fact that it's here in your hometown of St. Petersburg, Florida, before the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg with IndyCar in town. It just really seems to be the perfect scenario to debut this film.
Yes, the perfect combination. You know, I love St. Pete and Dan loved this city. And so to be able to share the movie here with everybody at the kickoff for the IndyCar season is just incredible.
And finally, how much has the love of the IndyCar community helped you get through the last 13 years?
Oh, amazing. I mean, they have been so, so great. I can't even put it into words. They literally have carried the boys and I through some really dark times. So it's an incredible community. It's a special community. And it's really like a family. So I'm just so grateful for all of their support all these years.
Susie Weldon, good luck with the HBO original documentary, The Lionheart. And thank you for joining us on Pit Pass Indy.
Thank you.
We'll be right back to Pit Pass Indy after this short break.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
This is Will Power of Team Penske, and you're listening to Pit Pass Indy presented by Penske Truck Rental.
Welcome back to Pit Pass Indy, presented by Penske Truck Rental. Scott Dixon continues his career as a living legend of IndyCar, although he shows no signs of slowing down anytime soon. On Tuesday, March 12th, Dixon and seven-time NASCAR Cup Series champion and later an IndyCar driver, Jimmy Johnson, were among a legendary list of individuals that were inducted into the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America in Daytona Beach, Florida. Our congratulations to all of the racing legends that are part of the class of 2024, the 36th induction class, and to the many honorees already inducted into the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America. Before heading to the ceremony, however, Dixon was preparing for the season-opening Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg to open the 2024 IndyCar Series season. I had an exclusive interview with Dixon to discuss a variety of topics and look ahead to the 2024 season for Pit Pass Indy. It's been a while since our next guest has been on Pit Pass Indy presented by Penske Truck Rental, but it's the great Scott Dixon, the six-time NTT IndyCar Series champion. Scott, we're coming out of an off-season that in a lot of ways there's been a lot of tumultuous things that have happened at IndyCar. How important is it to regain the narrative by just getting back on track, doing what IndyCar does best by racing?
Yeah, I think, you know, what you got to really look at is that, you know, IndyCar has a fantastic product. You're going to have some twists and turns along the way. But yeah, you know, I think they definitely need to make the most of this season and get us in a position where, you know, we can, you know, have stronger years from this point. But yeah. That's ups and downs, man. That's the way it goes.
But you were part of a group that met with Penske Entertainment people back in January at a dinner in Indianapolis. They had laid out a plan. A lot of drivers came out of that meeting fully committed and impressed by what IndyCar had laid out in front of you. How impressed are you that that'll all be implemented in 2024?
I think it's never an easy situation, right? You know, I think you know, the series is definitely in a growing phase, and what they're trying to do is you know, fundamental for the future. So, you know, I know they've run many successful businesses. You know, obviously this one is definitely a little bit different from you know, their usual situation, but. Yeah, you know, I'm confident that you know, they can, you know, get it on the right path and expand. You know, I think the frustrating part is when you're a part of a series and you see how good the racing is and the talent that there is, and even, you know, the partners that they have, that it doesn't get you know, more on the spotlight. So, you know, hopefully that starts to happen for the future of the sport.
As far as Chip Ganassi Racing, this season it's going to be a five-car team. you and Alex Palou are the two veterans. What's it like going to be having three newcomers into the series that are need to learn the series before they can really get out there and really compete for victories?
Yeah, it's never easy. I think that transition, expanding a team is always very tough. So, you know, looking forward to you know, what and how this team definitely plans for it. I think if there's any team that can do it successfully, it's definitely this one. But, you know, as we all know, you know, these teams, it's all about the people. So, you know, I think they've made some great hires in the off season. You know, we'll have to see how the transition goes. But yeah, running five cars is going to be no easy feat. But the driver lineup, I think, is fantastic. It's great to be back, you know, with Alex. You know, Marcus was there, obviously, last year for a majority of the races, just skipping the ovals. And, you know, then you got, you know, Kiffin and Linus, who, you know, I've known for quite a while now. So it's I think it's a great team as far as personalities go. And you know, I'm sure all of them are going to be very successful for the longevity of, you know, their career in the sport.
It appears that the hybrid assist unit will probably debut at Mid-Ohio. That seems to be the popular place that a lot of people seem to think of it. How much will that change the dynamic of the championship race by adding a new element midway through the season?
You know, I think the biggest thing that you kind of come into is maybe the reliability. Hopefully that doesn't play, you know, any issue on that side of it. And I don't even know if you can run if the hybrid's not enabled or how that even kind of factors at the moment too. You know, the energy usage and things like that throughout the, you know, the different races that we come to. But yeah, it will definitely make for an interesting season, I think. You know, maybe you could have somebody that's very dominant on the front side of the championship, and then, you know, comes to a bit of a struggle maybe with some of the additions later in the year. But I think almost at this point, the weight is probably going to be the difference. I think that makes it setup-wise a little bit more trickier.
23 years of driving an IndyCar, but you're always the driver that everybody looks at to try to challenge for the championship. How have you had that level of greatness on such a consistent basis for so long?
Being with a great team, you know, it's that's paramount for sure. And obviously, you know, I think what Alex did last year, you know, we had a pretty decent year. When you look back, there was definitely some things that we could have altered. You know, we were second in the championship. It was definitely weird going into the last race, not being able to be first or not being able to be third. You know, so kind of strange in that scenario. But, you know, for Alex to get his second championship, you know, you got to keep knocking on that door, man. Some years you just have some difficulties and it gets a little bit tough. But, you know, it's been the usual suspects, I think, for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. We'll have to see how this year plays out. I think it could be very different this season.
Does off-season preparation get harder or easier for you?
I don't think it really changes too much, to be honest. You know, I think the travel is always difficult. You know, we move around a fair bit, whether it's Indianapolis, you know, London or New Zealand. You know, so travel's never got any easier, that's for sure. But the preparation is always, you know, pretty similar, especially with the sports car program with Cadillac. You know, it's been a lot of fun to be a part of that and a ton of testing in the off season this year, a little bit more testing with hybrid situation. I didn't do too much of it, but the team did. So, yeah, I would say preparation is pretty similar, man.
And wrapping up here with Scott Dixon, the 6-time NTT IndyCar Series champion at Chip Ganassi Racing. The car will be lighter until the hybrid assist unit's used, so in a way it'll benefit speed. How much faster will the IndyCar be before the hybrid assist unit is placed on, especially at the Indianapolis 500?
Indy, you'll probably see a bigger difference because then we'll get all the lightweight parts with the halo and obviously the aero screen. So I think that's not until Long Beach or after Long Beach. You know, right now it's you know, it's a sizable adjustment, 25 pounds or something, but it should be closer to you know, maybe 45 pounds or 50 once we get to Indy. So the tires have changed too, right? They were under the assumption that we'd start the season with hybrid. So, you know, you're definitely a more durable tire, which, you know, when you use the word durable, doesn't always mean lap time. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Maybe it'll make a difference. Maybe it won't. But Indy could be pretty big.
Scott Dixon, the IndyCar Series leader of the pack. Good luck in 2024. Thank you for joining us today on Pit Pass Indy.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
And that puts a checkered flag on this edition of Pit Pass Indy. We want to thank our guest, Team Penske's Joseph Newgarden, the winner of the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, director and producer of The Lionheart, Laura Brownson, as well as producers Chapman and McLean Way, Susie Weldon, and the great 6-time NTT IndyCar Series champion, 2008 Indianapolis 500 winner, and one of the latest inductees into the Motorsports Hall of Fame, Scott Dixon, for joining us on today's podcast. Along with loyal listeners like you, our guests help make Pit Pass Indy, presented by Penske Truck Rental, your path to victory lane in IndyCar. On the highways, the raceways, and every pit stop in between, Penske Truck Rental keeps you moving forward. Gain ground with Penske. For more IndyCar coverage, follow me at Twitter at Bruce Martin, one word, uppercase B, uppercase M, underscore 500. This has been a production of Evergreen Podcast. A special thanks to our production team. Executive producers are Bridget Coyne and Gerardo Orlando. Recordings and edits were done by me, Bruce Martin, and final mixing was done by Dave Douglas. Learn more at evergreenpodcast.com. Until next time, be sure to keep it out of the wall.